That's my problem child back there, Mr. Free. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We are so glad you all are here today. We have so much to be thankful for. And it's just a joy to see Elijah back there. What a blessing. And I'm sure Nan and Pap are just tickled to death to have him home. So, and it's a joy to have Brother Dylan back today. And it's a blessing that we celebrate fathers today, right?
Amen.
Before we get started with announcements, I just want to read a few quotes for you that I was looking through. It says, a father is someone you look up to no matter how tall you grow. And that was from an unknown author, but whoever that author was, it was true words. And here's another one for you baseball fans, and I know Nance isn't one of them, but anyone can be a father, but it takes someone special to be a dad. And that's why I call you dad, because you are so special to me. You taught me the game, and you taught me how to play it right. Wade Boggs. Another one. And this one here, I think, holds true for earthly fathers, but it holds most true for our Heavenly Father. A father is neither an anchor to hold us back, nor a sail to take us there, but a guiding light whose love shows us the way. And that author was unknown. But if you think about it, God, He doesn't anchor us. He gives us the will to either move in the right direction or whatever, but He's there watching over us, and he loves us through it all. So we can be thankful we have our Heavenly Father. Okay, announcements. Miss Wanda. Okay, you hear that? Nance?
I just want to remind everybody of Bible study on Tuesday.
Seven o'clock. Okay, and it's been very interesting. Any other announcements? Well, I have one. This is the last time I'll be able to announce this before next Sunday. Don't forget, Kids for the Kingdom is next Sunday. So far we only have 14 people. Maybe I'm not expressing what I need to express as far as we need to know if you're coming or not, because we have to prepare for the food for the lunch. We have to prepare for the ice cream, how much ice cream and toppings to get for the social afterwards. So please let me know today, or at least call Kelly. She also is taking calls. With that being said, we are all kids of the kingdom. Doesn't matter if we're this high, as old as Bob Free, or as young as Elijah, we're all kids of the kingdom. So let's participate in this. It's a family event. It's not just geared. It's in place of our Bible school, but it's geared toward family. And if we as parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles don't get involved with our children in activities, what good is it? What do they have to look up to? So it's next Sunday. Don't forget, service starts at 10. There'll be a sermonette, and then we will turn it over to the Gudgeons, who will do the program. We will take a break after the first part of their program. Then we will go to lunch, and we're having a very nutritious lunch. Pizza, mac and cheese, hot dogs, juice. So nutritious. So if anybody's worried about their veggies and their fruits, take them before you come. And then we will come back up here, and the Gudgeons will finish their program. And then we will have an ice cream social. You can build your sundae, okay? So it's going to be a fun time in the Lord. We want our kids to know that being a Christian isn't boring. It isn't sad. It isn't, it's fun. It's fun being a Christian, fun serving Him. So let's do that. With that being said also, see me after church so that I can write down anyone that wants to make a donation of waters, juice boxes, chips, things like that, okay? After church, I need to know this Sunday because I got to go this week and get pick up stuff. All right. I get off my soapbox now. All right. Let's turn our hearts to the Lord now and our minds, and let's just sit in quiet meditation while Jerry plays the prelude. Call to worship comes from Psalm 107, 31 to 32. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him as in the assembly of the people and praise him in the company of the elders. May we bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your guidance. We thank you that we can be called your children. Father, now on this Father's Day, we just ask that you would touch the hearts, the minds, and souls of the living fathers, that they would try to mimic you in all that they do, Father. Father, now we want to give our love and our gratitude and our praise to you this Lord's Day morning. And it is in the precious name of Jesus we ask favors and blessings from you. Amen. Now we can all participate in hymn number 2. For those who can, please stand and make a joyful noise.
Our souls shall rise to
Now is a time of sharing joys and concerns. It's a joy to see Sister Doris back there too. Elijah. Thank you for your service, young man. Yes, welcome home. Who else? Huh? Nate, Maxine?
We need to remember the Abrams family for the passing of Barbara. And my sister, Irene.
We also need to remember the John Bruner family. He was in management at the Mount. He passed away this week. Bob?
I'd like to remember Larry and that he's doing fine after his second surgery, and we just praise God for that. We think of Doris that's recuperating from being in the hospital and the family stood by her. We think of our fathers that are here and the fathers everywhere. But you know, the fathers wouldn't be here without the mothers. So we got to give praise to them too, because they, we as individuals spend more time with our mothers during our development than we do with their fathers. So they deserve a lot of credit. And then our church and the church family and Dylan and his family, and I'm just going to say all others on my list, that just appreciation for being able to be here and be alive and be able to share in this service.
And Danny? Need to keep you in prayer too, Danny and Kathy. I saw a hand over here. Bradley?
Yeah, I just want to thank God for yesterday. We were able to get together with family and friends. And then now we can head to 65. One has to appreciate the gifts and blessings that God gives us in our lives to family and friends. I thank God for this grace.
Amen. Bradley, we still keeping Woody on the prayer list?
Yeah, I got to see him and wife the other day. She's got health issues. She's struggling with cancer. And there's all different things. God, how we put things into our home.
We need to keep John Riggs also in our prayers. He's struggling too with cancer. Faye?
Wilton.
Yes, Wilton. Any others?
I don't have a prayer, but I forgot to mention, maybe after our Tuesday night, when we come to have Bible study, if the trustees and the deacons could have a few minutes afterwards, I'd like to be able to just go over a little something that concerns the church.
Okay. Any others? And we have Traveling Mercies. There's so many that's on vacation right now. Let's please keep them in our prayers. Okay, so if we can, let us humbly bow for prayer, or however you comfortable you are. If you want to sit in your seat, just bring your hearts to the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we could give you so many names. Father, Abba, Daddy. You are all these things wrapped up into one, with your love, your care. Father, we are just so blessed to be your children. Father, we just want to come before you to give thanks for all the things that you do in our lives. When we come up, get up in the morning and we smell the coffee brewing and we look out the window and we see the birds feeding at the feeder, the flowers in the flower bed, we see all the beauty that you have created around us. And we thank you for that special time just to be able to take time and acknowledge what you give us, the beauty around us, our health, our family. As Bradley said it best, our family and friends, they are so important. They keep us going. And it's all be through your love and your hands. Father, now this day we would just like to lift up the fathers around the world, that you would give them a blessing for their efforts. Father, and we just ask for the mothers as well, for their hand is in everything in the home. Father, so we just ask a blessing for them. And Father, for the mothers and fathers that are sometimes downtrodden or just don't have the right knack of what to do, Father, we just ask that you would lift them up, that you would speak to them in that still small voice, that you would guide them, that you would give them hope. Father, now we have many, many, many on the list today. We have the Abram family and the Bruner family that are mourning the loss of a loved one, Father, and we just ask that you be with those families, that you wrap your arms around them, that you flood their memories with their minds with sweet memories so that they just don't feel so alone. Father, we think of Irene. We think of Larry. We think of Doris. We think of Danny's neighbor, his niece, Danny's niece. Danny and Kathy themselves have battles to deal with, Father, but we know that you are over all. Father, we think of Woody and his wife. Give them healing, Father. We think of John Riggs, and we think of Wilton, and there's so many others that are struggling with health issues, Father, and we just ask that you would keep your healing hand upon them. And as always, I ask that, Father, above all, that each one that is in need or is having health issues, that they know you as their Savior, Father. For without Jesus in their hearts, it will be sad, sad, sad. Father, we think of Elijah, who has come back home. We just thank you for the blessing that you've watched over him and cared for him. And we just ask that you continue to watch over this young man as he serves this country. Father, we also need to pray for this country. Pray for the leaders of this country. Father, we pray that they would come to you and ask your guidance, Father. Father, and where they make a mistake, or where they do that would cause harm to your people, Father, you correct that mistake. You make it for good. Father, we think of the church. We lift the church up to you, not only this church in Rocky Ridge, but the churches across the world that are your churches. Father, we just lift them up to you. We just ask that they would come back home and worship and praise you. Father, we want to lift up the ministers. Father, may they know, may they understand that they need to preach your word, not to take away from, not to delete, not to add to, but preach your word. And not let it be wishy-washy, so that it pleases everyone. For Father, we know that your word doesn't often please everyone, but hopefully it makes them come under conviction. And Father, what a wonderful preacher when you walk outside these doors and your toes hurt, for you know he's doing your job. So Father, let's just pray that all of our toes hurt from time to time. Father, now we just lift up Pastor Dylan, strengthen him and guide him. We know he's did labors of love this week to prepare for today. And Father, we just ask that his words would flow freely, that his words would be your words. And Father, as listeners, help us to pay attention. Help us to absorb it. just as a sponge absorbs water, and help us to use it throughout the week, what we have learned. Father, now we thank you for all that you are, all that you do. Now as we unite our hearts and our voices in that most perfect prayer, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Okay, let us join our hearts and our voices in hymn number 423. For those who can, please stand. You do know why you have to stand, right? I had a music teacher, a chorus teacher. She wouldn't let you slouch. You had to stand, you had to stand straight so that your lungs and all that could just project your voice. So that's why we have to stand. Just kidding. Title today is Two Prodigals. The scripture reading comes from Luke 15, verses 11 through 32. Please follow along on your bulletins. Where I err, you can correct. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided them his livelihood. And not many days after the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he's found. And they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near the house, and he heard music and dancing, so he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, Your brother has come, and because he received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, Lo, these many years I have been serving you, I never transgressed your commandments at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, he has devoured your livelihood with harlots. You killed the fatted calf for him, and he said to him, Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Amen. Wonderful scripture. Can't wait to hear the sermon, brother.
Thank you for reading that. And thank you for the water, Brother Bob. I think I'll be good, but thank you very much. This passage that was read, we know it as the story of the prodigal son. And I think a lot of us here have heard this preached on at least a couple times maybe in our life. We've heard it come up in our Bible story, but Bible study, Sunday school, this passage is quite familiar. You know, the scripture, this parable that Jesus has given, we know about the prodigal son, the son who didn't realize how great the blessings were that he had at home. So he took his inheritance, he left the family farm. What'd he do with it? He wasted it all away. He spent it, as his older son said, he spent it on harlots, on prostitutes. He went out, he had this lavish, wild lifestyle, and everything that he had went down the drain. That's why we call him the prodigal son. That's really what he was. This word prodigal, as defined in the Oxford Dictionary, is spending money or resources freely and recklessly, wastefully extravagant. Yes, the son did spend money freely and recklessly. Yes, he was wastefully extravagant. But is it possible to have a second prodigal in this story? Look at the father, back at verse 20, when after the son has come to himself and decides to go back. We read in verse 20 that he arose and came to his father. And when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. Think about this. When he was still a long way off, the father saw him and had compassion. His father saw him. Now, based on the context of this parable, the hired servants that the father had, this was not a father who was working in the field and happened to look up, wiping the sweat off his brow, and saw his son out in the distance. No, this father, this man who had these hired servants, who had this wealthy estate, he wasn't working in the field. He had plenty of workers to do that for him. He was relaxing. He was going to be on his front porch in the rocking chair. He was going to be sitting in his study. But while he's doing that, he's looking. He's looking. He's looking. Now, based on everything that the Son had done up to this point, I don't think this is a week later. It's potentially a year. Multiple years afterwards. After his Son has left and done who knows what. But yet, the day, the hour, the minute the Son is walking back home, the Father sees him. By coincidence? Not at all. The Father was watching the entire time, every day, every chance he had an open line of sight out into the road. He's looking. I know my Son is coming back. One could say that the Father was wasting away time. So many things he could have done, but he was keeping an eye out for his Son. And we read that when the Father saw him and had compassion, he ran out to his Son. He's running out. Now, we don't think much of that. But in this time, in the first century, a Middle Eastern man would never run. Yes, kids run and play. Yes, soldiers run out into battle. But a wealthy man like this, in his wonderful tunic and the wonderful cloak that he would have been wearing, he would have had to carry that up the run for the sake of tripping over it. And because of culture at that time, holding that up and exposing your bare legs or your feet, it would have been humiliating and shameful. You didn't show yourself. You weren't exposed when you were this wealthy. You were beautifully clad in whatever clothes you could afford, which with his lifestyle would have been quite extravagant. You did not show yourself in any way. So him carrying up, picking up his tunic, and running out to meet his Son from a long way off, he didn't care what people thought. He was wasting away his pride. Anything that might have shown him as dignified, he was throwing that all away. You know what? As much as I have, I'll put all this to the wayside. And the mind-blowing part of this, him running out and going to his Son. You see, to waste away your inheritance like this, to dishonor your father and say, "Give me what is due to me. Give it to me. I'm done. Give it to me now." And then to waste it all away, it's quite dishonoring of your father. And in this time, that offense carried a potential punishment of stoning, of death. The father could have looked at his son and said, "You have wasted everything away. I want nothing to do with you." The son could have lost his life. All that time that he spent on the road thinking of how can I come back and offer myself to my father in a way that doesn't get me killed. I mean, he did say, "Let me come back and, you know, let me be one of your hired hands. Let me just be your servant. You know, I know I messed up. I don't want to be your son. Let's cut that family tie right now and let me be a servant, because I know I'm as good as dead right now." But instead, the father chose to waste away the due justice to his son. And all those wastings away of time, of pride, and due justice. Yes, it looks like that from the outside. And I believe those are definitely the view of the older son. The older son who says, "Dad, why would you do this? Why? He wasted it all away. Why have you been sitting here watching for him for this all this time? Why would you humiliate yourself and run out to see him? Why would you protect him? Even greater, why have we repeatedly..." Think about it. They said, "Go and kill the fatted calf." The fatted calf. It's not like this whole time, you know, just feeding the cattle, letting them go. No, there is one that has been set aside for this time. He didn't say, go fatten up a calf, we're going to have a feast in a couple of months. No, it's already ready for this time. How many fattened calves have they gone through up until the point where the son came home? It's like, now, you know, we've been feasting on this and you're going to have something special because it came home? Why? Well, it's because of what the father was actually wasting away. This extravagant and pouring out of love. The father was putting aside all this time looking for a son, spending a resource of love freely and recklessly, pouring it out continuously, being extravagant with his love, saying, I'm going to look for my son today. I'm going to keep watching. I'm going to keep watching. You know, I love him so much that I don't want someone else to see him coming home, knowing what he's done, knowing that his potential punishment is stoning, is death. So I'm going to make, I don't care if I look like a fool, I'm going to run out because I love this child. I'm going to embrace him. I'm going to put the family ring back on. I'm going to give him the best cloak, and everyone's going to know that he is safe and he is home. That is how much love I have for my child. And Jesus is giving this parable to symbolize the relationship we have with the Father, with God. You know, no matter how far we strayed away, just like this son did, that when we come back, when we're ready to say, God, I'm tired of living this way. I don't deserve anything that you have promised, but you know what? I'll do whatever you want. And God says, come on in, child. Come on in. And there's something crazy about us being able to refer to the story between us and God as us the children and God the Father. But real quick, I want to clarify that, you know, some people may not have the best experience with a dad. Some people may have not had the best father growing up. Some may have not had someone that they could call dad. But Jesus sought to set the record straight with who a father was, with who a dad was in the relationship between man and God. Between woman and God, between humanity and the Almighty. In these parables, in this one specifically, Jesus is setting the record straight. The Father has an outpouring of love for the child. And we look at the Father in the story and we relate ourselves to God in that way and we call God Father. But we don't realize how extreme this was, the significance of it. You see, in the Lord's Prayer that we just shared, our Father who art in heaven, when that passage comes up in the New Testament, so after all of this, about two-thirds of Scripture we go through before we hear the reference of God as Father. That was quite the claim for Jesus to make in that symbolic prayer that we still have today. You see, the Jews did not have the intimate, personal relationship that we have with God. He was holy. He was reverend. And I want to point out a little note. Some of you may have noticed in your time, if you want to take out one of your pew Bibles and go to the beginning of Deuteronomy, I'll make it easy here once I find the page. Page 200. Or in particular, 201. And if you look through this first chapter of Deuteronomy, you'll see multiple references of the Lord your God, the Lord our God. And I think you'll notice something about the word Lord as it's printed in this Bible. You may have noticed that in other Bibles in the past as well, where when it says Lord, there's a different print. It's written differently in all capital letters. Some of you may have a Bible that uses the word Yahweh, but it's only YHWH. And it's in a different print, a different font. It's in all caps. And the reason for that is that the actual name for God as Lord, as Yahweh, is so reverent that Jewish people would not say his name. So to put in scripture, it had to be written in a different way because it was so reverent, so holy, that we do not say his name. We will call him God. We will call him Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides. But to give him his actual name, we are not worthy to call him that. Think about that with your own dads. That you cannot... Who here calls their dad by his first name? Do you call your dad by your first name? I know I don't. I do not say T-O-D-D because that is his name. And he is dad to me. But think about it. You didn't call him by his first name. You didn't know him as dad. But you knew him as provider. He paid bills in the home. As his occupation, say your dad was a farmer. Say your dad was a mechanic. Say he was a businessman. You called him businessman. You called him farmer. You called him mechanic. You might call him sir, but you didn't call him by his name. You just knew him as mechanic. You knew him as sir. Now Jesus is clarifying, you've given God all of these different names. You've told him so many different things. You've given Jehovah Jireh, the Almighty, God. And you won't say his real name, but I'm saying you can call him Father. You can call him Father. He's not just all the things that he can do for you. In your relationship with him, he is Father. And Jesus made that possible by paying the price for our dishonor to the Father and leaving the tomb empty and taking the church, us, combined together, united with the Holy Spirit, us as that capital C church, as his bride. Jesus made that possible. And as Galatians 4, verses 3 through 7 tell us, that with us, while we were still minors, while we were still these kids, infants, not really knowing right from wrong, not really knowing who God really is, just calling him God, calling him Jehovah Jireh, whatever the name might be, sir, whatever it is, while we were still minors, in that we were enslaved to the elemental spirits of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God. You're not just a slave. When you come running back to the Father, when you come running back, you're like, God, I'm sorry. I'm not worthy to be anything to you besides a servant. I'm putting myself under the law. Just as my older brother thinks that we can do everything through obedience. I'm sorry. I see what my older brother's doing. I'm going to do whatever I can for you. It's like, what are you saying? Doing all this good stuff, that's not going to be enough. That's not going to get you your inheritance. I gave you an inheritance out of love. And this whole time I've been watching you, my child. I've been watching for you. I've been keeping an eye on you. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Father had gotten reports from his friends in other areas of the country, listening. What is my son up to now? What has he been doing? And the Father's saying, I don't care what I look like. I don't care what people say about me, about being you know, too weak in offering you this grace and mercy. No, because someone else has paid the price. Someone else has done what you could not do. And you know what? I'm okay with that, he says. I'm okay with that. So come back into my arms, because I have all this love that I've been pouring out, and I need someone to receive it. He says, I don't mean this in a bad way, but I've been wasting all this love for years waiting for you to come back. It's been going out, going out, going out, and you haven't been here to receive it. Well, here you are now, so come embrace it. Come take in this love. And you know what? I'm not taking you back as a servant. I'm not putting you back under the law, because that has already been accomplished. That has been fulfilled. Come back as my child. Come back as my child. I know you've done wrong. You've told me you've done wrong. But that doesn't matter, because I have grace and I have mercy all for you. All because of this outpouring of love I've been showering since the day you were born. Think about that. Since the day, the hour, the minute, the second you were born. I'll even go farther because of what he tells, I believe it's Ezekiel, that I knew you in the womb. Since you were conceived in the womb, the Lord has been outpouring love for you. Setting things in motion for you to get where you are. I wouldn't be surprised if the pig farmer had a connection with the Father. I wouldn't be surprised if there was a connection. They're setting that up, making sure there was work for his son. All this time in your life, God has been outpouring this love for you. And if you don't realize how deep it is, keep searching. Look back at all the times when he opened up a door for you, when he made something possible that seemed impossible. He's been looking out. He's been caring. He's been pouring out all this love. So yes, in this parable, there are two prodigals. There are two wasteful individuals. One was wasting away the things of the world. One wasted away one something that has no monetary value, and that is love. And the thing that I see here in the story, that when the things of this world are wasted away, they run out. But when the Father is pouring out this love wastefully, did the love run out? It did not. The love was still there to give when the world had nothing left. May we all come into those embracing arms of love that never run out. It's through Christ we do not have to pay that price. If we don't come to Christ, yes, there will be a price to pay. But through him, accepting him as our Savior, we become his bride. And that is how we are adopted. We can say, Abba, Father, I thank you. Let us pray. Father, we have so many names for you. Heavenly Lord, Almighty, Jehovah, Jehovah Jireh. The list goes on and on and on and on. We see so many references to all that you do in the Old Testament, Lord. But your son, Jesus, he opened up a whole new name because of the relationship that you desire to have with us. The relationship that was reconciled because of his selfless sacrifice on the cross. And that we get to enjoy because the tomb was left empty as he ascended up into heaven. Blessing us with the Holy Spirit to unite us together as your church, Lord. And as your church, Jesus has taken us as his bride. And through that, we are not just wanderers in the land. wasting away what the earth has to offer. Rather, we are able to run into your open arms as you come running out to meet us, embracing us and taking us in with your grace and mercy, saying, "Child, you are home. Child, you are home." All those rules that have been given, guess what? Jesus fulfilled that. My child, you are in this new covenant. So come in. Come into the kingdom, my child, you say. Come in. And let people with your life, with your life, may they see what I have done, what I offer. May they know that there is something so much greater, something that no matter how much it is poured out and not received, it never runs dry. And the reason why we know it runs dry, Father, is because of your holiness. Because of your holiness, your righteousness, your love is so pure. Your grace is so pure. Your mercy is so pure that we cannot begin to fathom the depth of it. But you continuously pour it out for us. So we thank you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen. Now I invite you to stand as you are able for our last hymn, number 458. This is my Father's world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And he who believes in him has been redeemed from being under the law, so that they might receive adoption as children. And as children, God has sent you the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, so that you are no longer a slave under the law, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God. Not perishing, but having everlasting life in the kingdom of God. May we go in peace.